Welcome to a special issue of Daughters of Mormonism. I'm your host, Sybil. In this recording, Gail shares his thoughts and experiences about the pain of patriarchy from his perspective as a male.
Apparently, I've been questioning the patriarchy since I was very young. A few weeks ago, my oldest sister, who's 10 years older than me, emailed me and told me a memory about when I was 10 years old. And she and my oldest brother were having a conversation about polygamy. And apparently, and I do remember this once she told me, I asked why women weren't able to choose to have more than one husband. And my brother answered that because men hold the priesthood, there has to be a leader. So the person with the priesthood is the leader. And I've actually heard this justification in the church a lot for patriarchal order within the family all my life. It's a pretty common justification. Although I never remember it really sitting right with me. And as I got older and did more reading, etc., I did a lot of reading in Section 121 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And according to Joseph Smith, no power or influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood. And so, in my mind, that idea completely negates the philosophy that because the husband holds the priesthood, he's in charge. Because to say, by virtue of the priesthood, the husband is in charge, that is in complete contradiction to Joseph Smith's idea of the priesthood. As I got older, I think more and more the idea of the patriarchy didn't make very much sense. I remember as I got married, both my wife and I, we talked a lot about both of us believing, wanting to look for a partnership. I didn't want to be the one dictating everything. Even though throughout my life, the examples I had, my parents and the examples around me of the patriarchy were all benevolent patriarchies. The men weren't being mean to the women. It just didn't seem right. It just seemed like in an intimate relationship, people ought to be equal. Though I don't think I ever really quite figured out how to do anything but be a benevolent patriarch. In the church, the whole idea is to be partners, the men give the equality to the woman, which is inherently unequal. The biggest memory I have after this that left a big impression on me. In college, my wife and I went to the International Cinema at BYU quite often, and we saw this film called Hang the Red Lantern about a Chinese polygamist. And he had a handful of wives and lived in kind of a compound. Each of the wives had a little hut on this lane, and his was at the head of the lane. And every night, they'd all come out on their porches, and the servants would head down to the wife that he was going to spend the night at and hang all these red lanterns about. And it really was a really sad story because he was not a benevolent patriarch. He controlled everything. The women had no power. But I think what surprised me most, I was sad about the situation of the women, but I was also incredibly sad about his position because he had no intimacy at all. He may have had all the control, but he had no intimacy, and that struck me as just a tragedy, because I think that's one of our deepest human needs, is the need for intimate relationships, whether that be with a sexual partner or with any of our relationships. I think having an intimate relationship is of vast importance, and he had no one. He was completely isolated, which struck me as very, very sad. Sometime in my early marriage, I remember having another talk with my same brother that answered my question about polygamy. I had a talk with him about priesthood in general, and his ideas had changed a great deal since I was 10. He talked about the fact that he felt like the priesthood that we see in the church is an ecclesiastical priesthood, and it's only for this earth, and it's designed for this earth to administer the affairs of the church. And his feeling is, he gave an example in the temple, women administer priesthood ordinances. And in the hereafter, he didn't think there would be a necessity for this ecclesiastical priesthood. There would be a priesthood that we all held. And I continued to think. I remembered when I was 11, I went to priesthood preview, they called it, for when you turn 12 to become a deacon. And they taught me that the priesthood is the power and authority to act in God's name. And as I thought more about this in light of the talk I had with my brother, that if that's truly the case, if the priesthood is the power and authority to act in God's name, anyone that acts in God's name righteously would be exercising the priesthood. A mother that is inspired to teach their children a certain thing, a Sunday school teacher, a friend, anyone that does this would be acting in God's name and would be administering the priesthood. And in my mind, the callings that, like elder, priest, etc., that we call priesthood callings are just a certain subset of callings. Any calling or anything that we do in life, we could exercise the priesthood. Later on, when the proclamation on the family came out, I think it's about the third paragraph down, there's two lines in this paragraph that in my mind just always seem to not gel. The first one being, the father should preside in righteousness over the family. And then two lines down, it says, husbands and wives should work as equal partners. And that just didn't quite sit right. So eventually I went to my Random House dictionary and looked up the word preside. And there was a lot of definitions of preside, but every one of them used the word control. And so if presiding had to do with control, how could one member of this equal partnership be in charge of controlling, even if it was righteously controlling? That didn't seem very equal to me. But I do believe that the leadership of the church want the men of the church to have this control in a righteous manner. They want them to be nice about it. And often I heard them speak to the men of the church about not having unrighteous dominion. So in converse, I suppose that you need to have righteous dominion. And they would often use the examples from the book of Messiah. And there's a lot of good examples of different types of kings in the book of Messiah, the Book of Mormon. When I read it today, though, taking the whole book together, I think it's a very interesting allegory about why patriarchy doesn't work. You start out the book with a story of a king, Benjamin, who apparently is a very righteous king, doesn't charge any taxes, works for himself, but then volunteers the rest of his time to serve his people. Then you have stories of inept kings. You have stories of wicked kings like King Noah. And you have stories of kings trying to become righteous. You end with the story of King Mosiah, who is the son of King Benjamin, who was also a very righteous king. But almost the very last thing in the book of Mosiah is his plea to his people as he's dying to try to get them to set a system of judges, and explaining how even when you have a righteous king, it's better to have the leadership represented by all the people. And that as long as you have kings, you will continue to have abuses. And in my mind, this is the same thing as the patriarchy. And I do believe, again, that the leaders of the Mormon Church would want men to be righteous leaders in their home, like King Benjamin or Mosiah, and not be like King Noah. But I think the same logic applies that King Mosiah talks about, that it's always better to have an equal system versus to have a king. My problem has been in struggling as an adult, particularly as a very active member in the Mormon Church. The only examples I had around me were examples of the patriarchy. And as much as I sought to have real equality in my marriage and in the home, I don't think I ever really achieved equal relationships until I stepped away from the church and didn't have all this modeling around me. To find a way that you can just throw away that idea that the men have to give the equality to women and just be able to stand with another person in a relationship, it allows for so much more intimacy. It allows for a relationship that's so much more rewarding in all my relationships, whether it be the friendship I've developed in co-parenting with my ex-wife or romantic relationship I have with my romantic partner, or even the relationship with my kids, have taken on a very different flavor and are far more rewarding to enjoy a degree of intimacy that I always sought for, but never was able to grasp until I stepped away from all those examples of the benevolent patriarchy.
Thanks for listening to Daughters of Mormonism. I invite you to respond at daughtersofmormonism.blogspot.com. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the music.